In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I reflect on our lives, when we are quietly honest with ourselves, how often do we come to the conclusion about some pretty big moments in our lives? I should have been. I could have been better prepared. Sometimes those moments are very costly, and we realize they would have been less so if we had been prepared. Other times, those are moments of celebration that we wished we could hang on to longer if we had the chance to be fully engaged because we had readied ourselves differently. Many of the biggest moments of life are either won or lost in the preparation. And it's a daily battle, a struggle of awareness and objectivity on all of our parts to come to the realization of how we need to prioritize. It's so easy to often push aside when setting those priorities, but we know too often just how dearly, just how important the effort will prove itself to be. And so it should not surprise us that when we turn to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to a young pastor, Timothy, he turns this conversation about preparation towards spiritual things and the reality of our faith and our lives of faith and our sharing of our faith with others. Paul gives a clear and powerful lesson on how this truth always plays out spiritually. And Paul's advice is worthy of consideration for any Christian, for every Christian who desires to not only engage their Savior God in listening and living, but also sharing their faith seriously and desires to be their best when the opportunities arise that the Holy Spirit presents for us to be what God is giving us the unique opportunity to be in any given situation. It may be addressed to a young pastor, but hear these words as if they were addressed specifically to you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach, which really means proclaim. Speak the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, someone who shares the gospel. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, your service to others and to God. so easy to focus in those first verses on that reality that Paul tells us for those of us who have experienced it from the time we were tiny little babies held in arms. Unable to express ourselves individually and uniquely in the ways that the world values, God says through his servant that still in that moment, you had the ability to know who your Savior was and benefit from the wisdom that comes from knowing him and trusting him through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's fascinating how he says that you and I have the ability to be prepared from the earliest moments of our lives to be doing the work that God has called us to do in living and sharing the Word of God with others. And I look back upon my own childhood. I can look on the childhood of my own children and see how different this makes everything. Because when at the core of a human being and at the core of their existence, their family, their community, their life experience is this knowledge of certainty that God has given them forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that there is someone who has lived the perfect life in their place and offered it into death as a sacrifice, as a substitutionary sacrifice to pay for every last one of those sins, that guilt is gone and that life from this point forward, when you come to that knowledge, whatever age you may be, no matter how young you may be, come to that reality and knowledge that you are washed in the blood of Christ, that you have the wisdom and knowledge of salvation. You immediately have something to offer to the world around you. And at times, have we not just been amazed? Who of us has not had the experience of being amazed at the passion, at the confidence, at the ability of someone very young applying the scriptures, sharing the scriptures, being the difference maker in situations where people needed to hear the gospel? And so Paul tells you there isn't any limit on your life, one end or the other, to this reality that you can be and God desires you to be prepared to be a sharer, to be someone who speaks the word, because you are wise for salvation. The world might not see you as very wise in many ways or any ways, and yet God says you are wise if you know his word and his son through that word and everything that that means for you. You have wisdom that is eternal. You have wisdom that is worth sharing. You have wisdom that guides your life and your relationships in ways that those who do not have that wisdom cannot understand. And he tells you here that all of Scripture is available for that purpose of knowing who you are eternally and what that means for you today. I think it's fascinating that Paul tells us all of Scripture is breathed by God for the purpose of you and I knowing Jesus first and foremost. Having that wisdom for salvation as the key central reality of everything we're supposed to know from this word. Because it's vital for us to understand in regard to everything else Paul tells us here about being gospel sharers. To not be about who we're speaking to or how many people are willing to listen to us, but to recognize that in any given moment, similar to the ministry of Jesus as it's presented to us in the gospel today, that what God is all about is one human soul coming to know and believe in Jesus as their Savior, and in that wisdom, seeing and finding their purpose in regard to their sharing it with others. Whether it's someone who has heard it before and knows it and needs encouragement or correction or rebuke, or whether it's someone who has never understood it, either way, it's all about souls uniquely and individually understanding the wisdom of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and it then addressing the needs of others around them in their lives for that same knowledge, for that eternal purpose. But he also tells us that it's useful for so many other things too. And he gives us a list. He talks about things like instructing, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. You and I, we react to those words because we know we don't like to be rebuked.
we pull back at simple correction at times. To have someone actually looking us in the eye and telling us something about our lives is wrong to the point where it has to stop and be acknowledged as sin that needs to be judged, corrected, and reversed by God to being something that we put out of our lives for the purpose of living the righteousness that He's given us as a gift from the cross, but then asks us then to match in our desire to live God's will in our lives every day. Those are challenging and difficult things, but they're all part of this process of what Paul talks about. All of the Word is available for all of its purposes in all of our lives in regard to those addressing us with the Word and our addressing them with the Word. But notice that it's always about the Word. And notice in the next step how he tells you, this is about your doing good works. Now, if you remember Paul talking in Ephesians about these good works, he says that you and I, our purpose as believers, once we come to know this wisdom of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, is doing the good works that God planned in advance for us to do. And so he helps us understand that every good thing that we will ever do, we only have the opportunity to do it because God has opened our eyes to see it. And before that moment where we see it, he has given us the resources, the training, the education, the life experience, maybe the native talents that we have or the things that we've accumulated. But whatever the case may be, God's decided that we're the person in that moment that's going to be his hands, his mouth, in that moment for someone else where something good is happening that gives glory to God. But notice here, he tells you, he's not easing you towards those moments to just get you barely over the line into the category of serving and loving and sharing. He tells you, you're thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you don't think those words apply to you, that you are thoroughly equipped for every good work that God intends for you uniquely to do, there's two challenges for you there. He is speaking to you, and that is your reality. But if you don't feel thoroughly equipped, then it's time to engage God in counting on his promises and calling him at his word and saying, grow me to be that, to be completely and fully prepared. I want to be that, and I want you to do that in me and through me. But again, he comes back around to the simple reality. That even every one of those good works for you and I as Christians comes back around to always the opportunities that are created for us to share the Word. To be prepared Word sharers who focus on the wisdom of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then after that, all of the other applications of the Word to every element of our lives for all of its purposes. I mean, he puts it into context by reminding us about Judgment Day and the reality that Christ's kingdom is coming. And so he says to be prepared in season and out to proclaim, to share, when it's convenient, when it's not. And then he comes back to a few more of those words again, the correcting, the rebuking, and encouraging. He's emphasizing those realities just verses apart so that you and I will understand that there is a primary and a secondary use of the Word for all of us, first focused upon ourselves and our own growth, and then turned outwardly to being what God gives us each the unique opportunity to be in our world every day, prepared sharers of the truths of God's Word that make an eternal difference. And notice he says there are moments when that will be convenient, and there are moments when we will see that as not so convenient. When he says in season and out of season, that's what he's talking about. Where maybe that moment arrives and you realize what you need to do and you literally look heavenward and say, right now, Lord, really? This is that moment? This is what you want from me? That's not what I would have chosen, but here it is. And it's time to engage. And what he's telling you is that when you share the word in that moment, even though you didn't feel that it was the right moment, so to speak, a convenient moment, an easy moment, a non-confrontational moment, he's going to use that word through his spirit to accomplish his purpose in that moment, whether you thought of it as convenient or not. But notice, he adds, with great patience and careful instruction. Again, do you see yourself that way? As someone, when you come up against the realities of life, whether they're in your own life or in your immediate relationships or in the world around you, where things aren't going God's way, things aren't pleasing God, things aren't following God's will, and you may be the only person willing and able in that moment to stand up and say, this is where this needs to be different now, that you believe you can do that with great patience and careful instruction? Again, those words point us back to the word itself, saying you and I, the more time we spend in the word, the more we'll come to terms with our own sinfulness, our own brokenness, and how God has unconditionally and completely forgiven and paid for every sin and given us purpose and joy to live for him in a way that leads us to never be judgmental or condescending toward any other person, but have the same patience for them that God has had with us, and the same desire to be careful in our instruction. Again, leaning back on the idea that we're using the word to instruct, not our own ideas, not our own thoughts, not our own. It's all about applying God's wisdom and God's word and God's guidance to these situations. And then comes maybe the toughest part of these verses. The time will come. It doesn't say it may come. The time will come when people will put up with, will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. In other words, you're being told up front, you're being prepared. Doesn't mean that you will always win every moment with God's word in what you are being called to do. You will speak God's word with preparation. You'll speak the right words in the right moment as God has given you the opportunity to do, and then he will use those words as he will. Sometimes those words are judgment upon those who do not desire to know who God is or what God has to say about any given thing. And that may be your purpose. Think back on the call of Jeremiah that was our first lesson. 95% of everything that Jeremiah did was rejected, was challenging, was exactly what Paul's talking about here. There was very little throughout Jeremiah's life to lean on to say, I'm getting any traction with what God is doing through me and the world around me. And yet, thousands of years later, you and I open the pages of his inspired writing that the Spirit caused him to bring about in his moment in time, and there is tremendous value, comfort, forgiveness, guidance for millions of people from the day they were first proclaimed through that man who understood preparation and the need to stay focused on the Word of God, because that's what God called him to and that's what God made him through his Spirit. And so you and I recognize with great patience and careful instruction whether or not we're actually being listened to by those God gives us the opportunity to share the word. We still hold to the truth. We still speak the truth. We still let God define what truth is for us and for everyone and everything in our world. When it's all said and done, God offers us the opportunity to be prepared. And he makes us understand clearly that that preparation is all about his word and only his word, in a way that leads us to see our faith, our possessing the wisdom of knowledge through faith in Jesus Christ. Knowledge for eternal salvation is no accident. It's not just an inheritance from those who originally taught us. It is a miracle of God's working through His Spirit and His powerful word and sacrament in each and every one of our lives. And the need to recognize that for what it is. And to let that miracle, that simple reality, that you know God and His salvation and have eternal hope, be a reality that inspires you to decide, I want to partner with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a prepared sharer of the word that makes a difference. Because even though it may be tough, and even though it may not win me friends or influence in the world around me, doing the work of an evangelist, proclaiming the good news of God's forgiveness and salvation to a world that desperately needs to hear it, is what has made the difference in my life, because someone else was prepared to speak it to me. And so you and I see this moment and understand, I'm being called by God. Each and every one of us can say that. I'm being called by God to hear His voice and His word, to know with certainty the wisdom of His salvation, and then seek prayerfully and confidently to prepare myself to be the best possible sharer of the word that I can be. Because God's more than happy to make that happen. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.